You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's Monday, November 17th, episode 3820, brought to you today by our friends at Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
You have found Horses in the Morning on a Monday. You're in for an amazing horsey week of laughter, learning, and fun with Glenn and Jamie.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us on this Monday morning. I know a lot of you are looking forward to a very rainy week, so have fun with that. What are we doing on today's show? We're having a guest that you requested.
We're going to have Denise Heinlein. She is the head instructor at Monty's, and she's doing something really, really cool that I wanted to make sure everybody knew about.
And something that people can participate in. You can sign
yes.
up for it. So that's cool.
Yes.
And it might involve warmer weather than we're having in the winter here.
Yeah.
Just saying. And then we're going to be doing something fun in the post show too. So auditors, hang on for that. I wanted to make some holiday week announcements. We have some firm things that we can now announce for holiday week. Holiday week is our replacement for Radiothon. It is the first week of December, December 1st, 3rd, and 5th. Jamie and I are going to do the three episodes that week that we normally do are going to be what we call holiday week. It's kind of going to be Radiothon-esque. And I do have, I'm happy to report, I have a bunch of sponsors that have donated a total of 25 prizes worth over $2,000. So we are going to be giving away prizes that week. Count on that. And what we're going to do is each one of those episodes is going to have a main guest, and we're going to have an artist on, and we're going to do some fun holiday stuff, Jamie and I. So we got a lot planned. I'll tell you more about that. But I wanted to mention some of the prize sponsors include Cavallo, Dreamers and Schemers, Espoir, Kelly Herd Jewelry, KPP, Trafalgar Books, U.S. Rider, Zero Proof, Weather Beta, and Spalding Labs. So we have a whole bunch of prizes we're going to give away each day. And speaking of that, you get triple the entries for the prize drawings each day if you get a voicemail to us with a song or a poem by this Friday. You only have 5 days left. You can go to the link in the show notes. Just right there, there's a link that if you're going to record it yourself on your phone, go to that link in the show notes, and it takes you to a page where you can upload it, or you can use our voicemail line. Just go to horseradionetwork.com, and on the right side of the page, just click voicemail, start talking into your phone, singing into your phone, reading a poem into your phone, and it comes to us magically. And we do have five or six that have come in, but we need a bunch more. So I know a bunch of you songwriters and singers are going to be working on it this week. We always get those last minute. So we'll look forward to hearing those in a couple of weeks. Next week, we'll have the sign up open for everybody for the prizes. We'll announce that next Monday, and then you'll have a week to sign up for the prizes. Anybody can sign up for those. But Jamie and I talked about it, and we thought, let's make it a week of comedy. So that's what we decided to do with all our guests. And we have three of the most favorite comedians in the horse world coming on with us. Do you want to talk about that?
So, comedians and also, I guess, influencers, content creators, I don't know. So first we have Sydney the Eventer, who's going to come on. We've had her on before. Sydney Severson. She's fantastic. I mean, her videos are great. And she's the one with the shaved head, and she's going to come on. Then we have Hayden Crystal of Chicken Nugget fame. And then Maxie Wittrack, who's the stand-up comedian who does all the horse chick jokes. And so she's going to come on Friday. It's going to be so fun.
We're going to have them all talking about the holidays and their favorite memories or funny memories and things like that. So I'm just excited about that. I think it's going to be so much fun. And then we're going to have an artist of different kinds of things on every day that you can buy for somebody for the holidays. So that'll be fun. And then we're going to do a holiday segment every day. And don't worry, we're going to be doing the Hallmark movie, Jamie's Hallmark movie guesses, the first Monday.
They're not guesses. They're what the real movie movie is actually about in my head.
We might talk more about that in the post show today, auditors.
And I've got a movie review for you, Glenn, in the post show.
Okay.
And it's a Jack Black Christmas movie that came out last year.
Oh,
and
okay.
I watched it with my son.
See that one, I don't think.
No, so, I don't think anybody did.
So in the post show each day, we're going to have various hosts from the HRN shows. I thought what would be fun for the post show is to get hosts from other shows on that we really like to just hang around and chat. And Joy and Kristen is going to be on the Monday from Retired Racehorse Radio. And I'm sure there will be a baby or two making an appearance during that
Whether she wants it or not.
Yeah. Megan and Reese are going to join us also from the Dressage Show. And then Ashley and Jen are going to wrap up the week on the Friday. So plus all of your voicemails. So we'll be playing those each day. And I might dig out some of the classics from the past. We have so many years of Radiothon now. I'll dig out some of the classics from the past as well. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of holiday. It gets us in the mood. So that'll be happening the first week of December. In the meantime, we got a show to do. We got some Daily Winnies to do. I have a couple of Daily Winnies of our auditors, Melissa Pistachio and Terry Golson. Happy birthday to you. Plus, I have a couple other things, Jamie. Congrats to auditors Matt and Beth, who have been auditors since day one, on the birth of their adorable baby boy.
Aww.
And then also congrats to Charity on her new horse, Sophie. She's apparently a standardbred Friesian Belgian cross, which is quite a combination.
Now, I don't know if you saw that. I mean, we don't have to talk about how Matt and Beth got their baby, but I'll tell you how Charity got hers. She went to an auction with a friend who was looking to buy a saddle, and the friend never got a saddle, and Charity came home with a horse she didn't intend to come home with. But to be fair, I would have bought that horse too. Amen, brother. I was like, oh my gosh, if I went to a charity auction right now and there was a baby horse that was like a little boy and Butters could have a friend, I would totally buy Butters a friend.
Really cute. It was really cute. All right, let's do yours.
I have all sorts of fun stuff to talk about. First of all, I'd like to thank Cindy Holcomb. She's an auditor, and she sent me a copy of the My Racehorse calendar. Hold on, let me get it. So it's a calendar of all the My Racehorse horses, and I own two horses in this catalog, or at least three hairs on their head. And it was really cool. So the first page is Caldera, Glenn. So you also own a piece of Caldera.
Is going to the track again, might be racing soon.
Yes, he's done a work, and he has a couple more to do, and then they're going to send him back to the track. So
he's heading to Florida, actually.
That's what's so cool about My Racehorse is they spare no expense and they do whatever the horse needs, which is really awesome to see. And then I'm like flipping through the pages and I'm like, oh, I love that horse. Oh, I love that horse. And then there's a picture of Dwayne Lucas and Caldera. And it kind of choked me up a little bit. Dwayne, I think that's Caesar Gray, actually. Dwayne is Caesar Gray. Oh, and it kind of choked me up. It says, thanks for everything, coach. And I loved it. So thank you, Cindy, for sending me that. That was very, very sweet. Couple other things. Speaking of racehorses, I went to the track on Saturday night to watch Mazuma. Mazuma was the horse that came here for some rehab work in the summer. And he's back at the track, and he had a race back last Saturday night. Typically, he runs on the turf at a mile. They've closed the turf now, so this was a dirt race at a mile and a 16th. And I've got to hear. I don't think it's too hard. I think it's just what kind of how they prefer to run, like genetically or whatever, breeding wise. However successful they are, so let's take a listen to Mazuma's race.
Okay.
All in.
It's not Larry Comas.
It's a Remington. No, no.
They're off in the Saturday night cap at Remington Park. Clean start. Wow, that's hot. Going for the front. Mazuma right there. Outside McKinnon charging on as well. As they pass the line, McKinnon with the advantage. Flying to the turn by a neck right now over Mazuma. Wow, that's hot is inside. Nearest the rail, saving some ground. After that, the next flight of three includes Don't Ask, Don't Tell at the rail. Inside of Mandolin Wind. And Hot Gunner is a wide sixth. Only 4.5 from the front. Off the first turn to the backstretch, McKinnon showing the way now by a head over Wow That's Hot. With 6 furlongs to go, Mizuma tracks along third, a length and a half back. Hot Gunner now has advanced to have a nose into fourth over Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Mandolin Wind now takes up the trailer spot again, only about 4.5, maybe 5 back with 5 furlongs to go. Halfway up the backstretch, McKinnon showing the way over Wow, That's Hot. Mizuma comfortable third. Hot Gunner stays clear fourth. Don't Ask, Don't Tell needs racing room inside. Ready to pounce, getting a perfect trip there. And then Mandolin Wind holding the spot at the back. So they're not changing positions at all since they started the first turn. As they go to the second turn, 3 furlongs to go. McKinnon on top and trying to pull clear. Mizuma now setting sail and moves into second wide, gunning after McKinnon. Wow, That's Hot also asked to run. So these three starting to power on now. They're 5 clear of Hot Gunner, Mandolin Wind, and the trailers now Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Off the turn best, it's Mizuma. Mizuma is on top by a pair, way wide, but rolling along, out by 3 now. Mandolin Wind starting to come on, charging through between runners. Furlong to go, race on. Mandolin Wind flying, has all the momentum, goes right by Mizuma like she was standing still, or he was standing still. It's Mandolin Wind charging on to a sharp, powerful win over the final quarter mile to win it by 6.
Ah, oh, stupid Mandolin Wind. But Zuma was winning.
She flew by, though.
No, but Zuma was winning, and that horse just blasted forward. So what they determined, I mean, we were screaming and jumping up and down and freaking out. Oh, my God, come on, because you're right there at the track, because there's, like, nobody there. I'm screaming, and we're going crazy. And then that stupid Mandolin Wind, who apparently has beat him before, like, beat him, just ran right by. So I guess Mandolin Wind does really well at mile and 16th. And Mizuma, if the race was a mile long, he would have won the whole dang thing. So
I have to ask you, usually you get the horses that are retired, you don't get to see them race. This one spent, 6 months at your farm, a long time. And then you got to go see him race. That must have been a whole different experience.
It's so fun. I actually asked the owner, Matt. I was like a nervous mother. So nervous for like 3 days.
You were so nervous to have this horse at your farm.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm sorry. It's a big, giant, awesome racehorse. And he's, by the way, a son of American Pharaoh. So, I mean, there's extra love for this horse. And he's just as sweet as can be. But I was talking to the owner, Matt. I was like, how do you do this? I was like a sweaty mess for 3 days before this race. I can't imagine. He was like, that's why we drink. Okay, got it.
That's why they all have their own bourbon line.
Exactly. Yeah, it's so exciting to know a horse. And I will tell you that I did bet Mizuma across the board. So but his odds, he's was kind of a second favorite. So I think I made my money back on that bet. But there was a horse that ran earlier called Run Happy De Oro. And that's another one of the trainer Scott's horses. And when I go through the barn, I do the PEMF pulsing on these racehorses. And at the end, I always bring a bag of carrots and I give them all carrots. Well, racehorses don't like carrots. They only eat peppermints. Yeah. And so it's like I spend so much time.
They look at an apple like it's a foreign thing. You know?
Oh my God, what is that healthy thing? Get that away from me. Give me the sugar. So I'm like, if we're going to eat food, it's going to be something healthy. So I go to give them carrots and none of the racehorses would eat the carrots except for Mizuma because his parents love him and give him carrots all the time. And the horse directly across from him called Run Happy De Oro. Okay. Obviously Medaglio De Oro, Run Happy and his bloodlines, all that. So I pat him. I was like, oh my God, he's so sweet. And he ate my carrots. Well, he raced also on Saturday night in the fourth or fifth race. So I was like, oh, I love him. He's so pretty. I mean, and he was not on a favorite at all. I think he went off at 37-1, which there was 10 favorites ahead of him. Darn if that horse didn't come in second at 37-1. And I bet him across the board for a lot of money. So mama made some money on Run Happy De Oro. It was a good night. And then, of course, everybody's like, who are you going to pick this time? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't give those horses carrots.
Jamie never opens the program. She's never opened the program in her life.
I do now. I can't, but I don't know what I'm looking at. I just, that one liked carrots and I fed him carrots and he was pretty. And that's why I bet so much on him. And then his trainer came up. He was like, you did how much for that horse? was like, well, it worked out. I have faith in him.
In other words, you got really lucky Saturday.
I was the talk of the talk of the track that night because nobody else bet that much money on the horse. And I'm like, 28 carats under my hand. Even the trainer couldn't believe how much I bet on the horse. And I won that much money. I won like $400 on this one horse. It was insane. And they were like, huh? Why'd you bet on that?
You were the only one. That's why you won so much.
I was the only one.
Is that track like Penn National was on, you know, on a odd time of year like this? There were three people watching at the track.
There's not many people there, but the thing is, what I explained to people is there might not be that many people there. They do have a casino in it, which is like packed all the time. But the horses
in the casino, or is it just slots?
No, I think it's all slots. Yeah. I think it's all slots. But what they have, the what makes horse racing pay it for itself is that it's simulcast all over the world. So there, like, I remember being in Vegas and I was betting on horse racing in Oklahoma. You know, like that's because that's like,
and now with apps, you know,
it's so easy. So that is what keeps it going. And it's really to know people and to know horses, and they just, you know, they love their horses and they take care of their horses. And the horse that I saw not too long ago that was walking around the paddock looking like he didn't want to be there is now in my barn. And that's the magic of Remington Park.
That's funny. All right. I know you want to chat a little bit about the new dog too, but let's talk about Worm a little bit.
I'm chatted out. You go.
Okay. With winter on the way, your trailer will have some downtime, a good time to get some Worm flooring. Traditional floors in trailers, barns, workshops, they take a beating. They crack, they leak, they collect dust like nobody's business. And those are temporary fixes. They never last. And something that does last, and Jamie has it in her barn, is Worm flooring. Worm flooring is a sealed system that's easy to clean and maintain. No more back-breaking scrubbing. Plus, it's slip-resistant, keeping you safe and sound. And unlike other options, Worm flooring is built to last. Liquids, no problem. Worm flooring protects your floor and keeps it looking beautiful for years to come. I wanted to ask you, I've never asked you, it gets really hot in Oklahoma. You get 100 plus days and it didn't have any trouble?
Oh gosh, no. Okay. It was awesome. I can't. Now remember everybody, they bought advertisement with us after I bought my Worm flooring. I was first. So it's not like I got this for free, but I will tell you, it is the best investment I've made in my barn. I love it so much. Just the comfortability of walking down the barn aisle, and it's not concrete and it's not slippy. And it's just like spongy all the time. Yeah, I've had it now. This will be my second year with it. So I've had it start to finish, and I love it so much. And it's also in my trailer, obviously. That's how I kind of like learned about them. But then I was like, I like the trailer floor so much. And then we came into the hailstorm money. And so I was like, we're spending that stuff. Come on.
Insurance money.
Yep. Insurance money. So, you know, but again, it's totally like, I absolutely love it so much. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Worm Flooring, WERMflooring.com to find out more and to find a dealer near you. Hey, I wanted to mention, you know, I was looking last week for a study show, and I never did a study show because I really couldn't find that many. But I did find this one that I thought was interesting, and it made me wonder where this magic number came up with. What is the number associated with the number of steps a day that you should do?
10,000 steps, right?
Where'd that come from?
The air. I don't know.
Apple.
Okay.
It came from Apple. I don't know that there was a scientific study about it, but now there is a scientific study that took a look at what really should be the number of steps per day.
I feel like you told me this. Did we do this already?
No, I had it last week's show notes and never got to it. That's why you saw it before.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually much lower than 10,000 a day. So for general health benefits, this is where you just want to be generally healthy. And it's, you know, you're not going to gain much, but you're also not going to lose anything. They recommend now 2,000 to 4,000 steps a day, which is much less than 10. And then the magic number that they've come up with after study, they studied like 10,000 people. It was a lot of people. The magic number they've now came up with, and this is across all age groups, is 7,000. They said 7,000 steps a day.
We did talk about this because we talked about how horse girls cheat because we get steps for riding.
Did we talk about this?
I feel like we talked about this, but I will tell you that when I first moved here to Oklahoma, they had a public service campaign going on, and it was, ladies and gentlemen, we're just asking you to please move 30 minutes a day.
Yeah. I mean, that's that's what they
said. Who doesn't move 30 minutes a day? Bless them. Get up and walk. Yeah, we did talk about this. I swear we did. And it's just, you just wanted to reiterate the fact that you don't have to do as much, exactly. That you can be lazier.
But that's exactly right. So in any case, there you go. You're off the hook. If you only do 7, you're fine. So what about Link?
Oh my gosh. Link is the dog that we adopted from the shelter about 2 weeks ago. I guess we've had him, I don't know, a week and a half ago. And he's a little border collie male, and I can't believe it. He's perfect. He is perfect. You can tell he's been beat up. Like when I was in the barn, I picked up a broom to brush down some cobwebs. Oh my God. He lit out of that barn as fast as you can think about it. And Chad with the golf, he has a little golf driving thing in the garage, and that he starts swinging that golf club, and that dog is out of there. So we obviously, he has had not so nice people in his life, but oh my God, we had a dog trainer come. He doesn't need any training. He's freaking perfect. He sleeps with Lucas in the bed and like sleeps with him at night. And then when Lucas is at school all day, he's with me in the farm, never bothered the chickens, never has bothered a horse. Like wants no part of it. He just wants to land barn owl and watch me. Because the border collie job is me. Anybody moving it, his job. And he's getting along great with the other dogs. It was just meant to be. So I'm just really, lots of people have been asking me how it's going, and he's super cute. And I'm trying not to post Facebook pictures of him every day, but he's figuring it all out. He immediately came in. He's like, I'm the dominant dog. And all my dogs were like, okay, whatever. And now he's like, okay, so we're all friends. Like we're just friends. Okay, we're friends. Great. And he has been awesome. So I'm really, really happy with him. And it's working out amazing. And like you said, my husband has completely given up. The dog's on the couch. He's in the bed. He doesn't, it's just, I broke him. I broke my husband. Happy to report. Everything is happier now.
All right, let's go to our guest.
I would like to welcome to the show a good friend and the woman that trained me also, Denise Heinlein. She is the head of the Monty Roberts International Learning Center. And good morning, Denise. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jamie. It's a pleasure to talk to you as always.
Oh my gosh, you have so much going on. And we're going to get into talking about intermediate courses and your gentling wild horses in South America. But first, I have to ask, how is Apollo? And tell everybody who Apollo is.
Oh, Apollo is doing fine. He's holding in there. I mean, he doesn't like this cold winter weather in Germany the same as I do. We both are equal in that way. But he's my old halflinger, and I have him since I'm 13 years old. And I mean, he's getting really into the high age now.
How old is he now?
He's 34.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's incredible. I mean, I cannot believe how much, I've learned of him. It's really cool.
13 years old to now you've had him and he's 34 years old. What an incredible story in life you guys have had. What do you think the secret to his longevity is?
Well, first of all, he's a really tough cookie. I mean, he's just so full of life still. Even if he has like kind of arthritis and, you know, all of this. But also then, of course, I pamper him, I have to admit. I mean, I have the luck that he now lives at my place, you know, at the European Learning Center there, of the Monty Roberts European Learning Center. And I go out, I have to admit, every night at 10 o'clock or so to give him like his mash and like the soba, I don't know how you call it in English, but the hay cubes, you know, with hot water and like herbs and all of that. So I make sure that he can, even if he can't chew the hay anymore, gets enough food regularly, you know, so therefore I'm a really, really good mom.
Well, you know, it's rivaling. I've got three horses in mind. We've got Apollo, We've got Shy Boy and My Horse Duke, who also at about 10 o'clock every night gets mashes and all his vitamins and everything too. And I know that Monty's Shy Boy is equally as pampered. So you know what? You got to take care of these old boys.
Shy
they took
boy
care
like
of you.
50 now? I mean,
he's 30. How old is he, Denise? 32, 33?
Yeah, I think Shy Boy is pretty much the same age as Apollo 33, I guess. Yeah, definitely.
Seems like he should be 50.
Yeah, and Duke is also 33, 34. So, I mean, we all have these senior guys that it's just a contest to see who's going to live forever at this point.
Who's taking a better care of their horses? No kidding. I mean,
you know that. Damn, hammer drop. Okay.
you never know what's happening. But, I mean, I'm like, my heart is glowing every morning when I see him and he whinnies at me, you know, and then wants his food, and when he's still so up and lively, that's so nice to see.
Yeah.
I'm really glad, Emma, to be able, you know, after being here for so many years and I had him in other people's overview or supervision when I was living in California, you know, so therefore I'm so happy now, Emma, to be able to join like the last years, so that we can be so close together as we used to be when I was a teenager and young, you know, and every day for hours and hours at the barn. So it's really cool. What a luck in life, you know, that things like this happen.
Well, you're back in California now, so somebody else has to pamper Apollo. Tell us about the intermediate courses, because I've had a lot of questions about this. We talked about, we used to have to do the intro course and then send in a video series to get approved, and then you would have to do the intro exam. So how are things working now? Because there was a big difference from the intro course to the advanced course. And so I feel like you've decided to fill in a lot of the gaps. So tell us kind of how the program is working now.
Exactly, Jamie. I mean, you've been going through our education. So the introductory course, as the name already kind of gives the hint to it, is really about introducing Monty's concepts to anybody who is interested in it. And then after that, we have like the exam still going, but now we're going to spread like our education just as we do it with our horses more incrementally, so that people don't have this huge, you know, step when they come and first they learn and practice with those nice educated horses. And then in the advanced course, we expected them to, you know, lift the bar so high that they are suddenly working with young horses and sometimes already remedial problem horses. So, you know, they were some overwhelmed with some of the tasks. So that's where throughout the years we made the decision that we have to be a better teachers, you know, not only for our horses, but also for our students, our human students. And that's where we decided to place those intermediate steps, you know, so we can really help them to step up to the task we would like them to be able to, you know, handle. And therefore the intermediate courses came in.
Now, then it used to be the advanced course, the advanced exam, and then an internship. So I think these intermediate courses that are just pure education and so necessary, they take the place of the end.
Well, we did also gain more modules to the advanced school, like so to the advanced courses. Since there, as you know, we had the 3 months of internship, and we replaced the 3 months of internship with just like more in detail modules in the advanced study. So basically, after all of the advanced modules are done and you reach the credits needed, then you get your instructor license of being a junior instructor right away, instead of having to be, you know, 3 months being at the farm or like interning to gain more experience after the advanced course. So everything is more, you know, hands-on teachable, you know what I mean? Like we pay more attention in the specific classes to the specific tasks we need, right, our instructors to know about.
Right. Instead of doing an internship where, you know, like I was mucking stalls every morning, now you get to spend that time actually learning stuff. So I love that, the addition for that. Now, you do also have some educational opportunities. And tell me about this Patagonia.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I'm so excited to go to Patagonia. Last year, I've been there, as you know, with Monty, and we've been to Argentina, and it was like a fantastic journey there the last time we've been. And now I return to a good friend of mine. She has like a breeding operation there with beautiful quarter horses in Patagonia. And there I will hold like the second official introductory course of Monty. So everybody in South America, if you are interested to learn Monty's concepts, come and meet me there. And then also Selena, my friend, she introduced me to Santi, and he works with wild horses there in Patagonia. So it's actually the same story as the Mustangs, you know, like the people who came to try to conquer, I don't know another word now, sorry for that, but, you know, to explore maybe is the better word, like South America, they brought their horses, and those horses were left behind, and then they kind of mix with horses from the Gauchos, so they have quite a few wild horses running up there in Patagonia, in those mountains. It's called Sierra Baguales. Baguales is the name for the wild horses there. As we call the horses here Mustangs, they are called Baguales. And it's a bit the same story as here, you know. So the national park don't want them anymore in their land, in the protected land, because they're not native. So they don't really have a place to live. And this guy, he takes care, or he tries to take care, you know, and bring the horses into sanctuaries where they are not ending up at the meat factory, but really that, you know, the young horses and horses, we can still help to get them gentle enough that they will be, you know, able to, go for tourist rides or whatever, you know, they can have
a job.
Exactly. And that's what I have been there last year to see. You know, it's in the middle of nowhere in Patagonia. So stunning, the landscape. And you have absolutely nothing around but this hacienda, one little hut, and then the horses around you. So I think there are like three or four bands of wild horses. So with the stallion and the mares and so on, and the offspring. And we run this year the first time like a course which is open for people who are interested in that, to see how to gentle, you know, how to get the first touch on those wild horses, the youngsters, so we can get them, you know, happy around people, so they can be, you know, sold to other farms and be working horses or whatever they would like to be.
I'm looking at a map of Patagonia, and you said that this place is in the middle of nowhere, and it looks like everywhere is the middle of nowhere in Patagonia. I mean, you're the southern tip of Argentina, like near the ocean. I mean, what's the weather like down there?
Well, the last time I was there, the weather was super nice, blue sky and sunshine, and really, really pleasant. But of course, I mean, I guess like when it's so rough and like so mountainy, you never know how the weather will be. It can be probably snow in the summer, but in February, it's their summer. So it's like it's the best time to, you know, try out Patagonia's weather, I guess, because in winter time, I don't know if it would be so nice to be outside all day long working with horses.
So anybody who's listening to this that lives up in the northern part of the country that wants to escape it and go do some good and learn some cool stuff needs to go down to Patagonia, southern Argentina, in the middle of winter for you is the middle of summer for them. So Denise, how do people get a hold of you to learn more, to potentially, you know, participate?
Well, I mean, either they find me on my social media or they write me an email. I don't know how, or they Google Denise Heinlein and then that follows the towards the website. But I also can give you a link, Jamie. I don't know how that would work, but you know, I think there are many options to go and find me.
Okay, so do you still have the email denise@moniroberts.com?
No, unfortunately not. I have denise.heinlein@gmail.com.
@gmail.com. Okay, perfect, you guys. Well, oh my gosh, I would love to go do that. That sounds amazing. Well, give Apollo a smooch. I know you've come all the way to California to enjoy total rain. It hasn't stopped raining since you got there. So that sounds fun. I know you're a sun baby for sure. So I hope it gets a little drier for you the last couple days.
Good to talk to you, Jamie. I hope I see you soon again on one of our next meetings.
U.S. Rider diesel savings powered by Open Roads can save you up to 50 cents per gallon at major gas stations nationwide. High mileage drivers, that could be more than $700 a year back in your pocket. Sign up free at myopenroads.com/USRider and get free priority processing as a gift from U.S. Rider.
Well, Jamie, I have a couple news stories here that are interesting. The first one especially. So there was this Minnesota-based equine massage instructor named Lita. And what happened was the state of Minnesota came after her. The Minnesota Office of Higher Education came after her and said that she needed to comply with the state's Private Career School Act because she taught equine massage people. Well, there's not even any regulations on equine massage. Some states have regulations on equine massage. There's not any in Minnesota. But what they did is they came after her and said she needed to get licensed and pay all the fees to be an educator to teach equine massage. Well, she took them to court and said, look, this is not something that's even regulated to begin with. Why would I need a teaching license, right, to teach people how to do equine massage? And remember, this is not the USEF or an equine-based thing coming after her to, you know, get licensed for this. This is not the AAP. This is the state of Minnesota. And I think they just saw a way to make extra money because it's like thousands of dollars. If she was to have to do this. So she took him to court, and apparently the federal U.S. District Court ruled in favor of Lita, that she does not have to do this. She does not have to get a separate license. She does not have to, to pay all the fees and do all of that.
Yeah, but I bet it cost her more in attorney's fees.
But I'll tell you what this ruling does do. It sets a precedent by saying that the government cannot impose licensing burdens on individuals simply for teaching, and this is how they ruled it, non-hazardous specific skills, thereby protecting the right to speak and teach freely without unnecessary government interference. So what this could have applied to in Minnesota and then as a precedent around the country is you teach little kids, you have five little kids, you're teaching how to ride, they could have made you get this license. So it applies to anybody that teaches anything in the horse world.
And interesting.
Yeah, see, that's why this was so important for all of us. It's because they would have made it apply to everybody. And you know they would have.
Anybody who teaches anything, we should all Venmo Lita Mox $25 to help with her attorney's fees because she saved us a bunch of time.
I'll tell you what, this was an important one, and I think it went under the radar, but it was an important ruling. And the interesting part is they ruled it because they determined that it violated her First Amendment right to free speech.
Oh my God!
So they
lawyers
went to the
are
First
amazing.
Amendment on this one, which the federal court agreed with. Now the state could take this to a higher court. I don't know if they're going to or if they're going to think it's even worthwhile, but we'll find out. But I thought that was an interesting one. The other interesting one, and this is one I went, they don't do that already. Is the FEI announced that they were implementing the new digital horse passport? So what they're basically going to have is a digital passport for all horses that compete around the world under FEI. And it will have everything. It will have owners, athletes, it will have their names, it will have complete health records, it will have vaccination history, travel documents, microchip scans, the whole thing. I thought we did this already, but apparently not. It's going to roll out beginning in 2026. There were, like anything, the comments were 50% of the people hated this idea and 50% loved it because they won't have to carry papers anymore.
Yeah.
And anybody that travels overseas for the FBI knows it's a hassle. It's a serious hassle.
I don't travel, but just knowing that I can enter horse trials and all my information's already in there, I just hit make form,
Isn't it like, nice?
Yes, it's so much nicer. So I think it's cool.
I think this is a great idea. And I
put it all in a microchip and leave me alone.
Well, and this also might help prevent the horse that's racing under another name, the fraud aspect of it. It should help eliminate a lot of the fraud aspect of it too. And then I have one other fun story for you today. There's an Airbnb experience in a barn in Nottinghamshire, which, by the way, we have an English auditor who keeps correcting our pronunciations, mostly yours, of places in England. So if I said that wrong, I know she'll correct me. But any case, you can go to this place, and what they've set up is they have converted an outbuilding to a Airbnb, and they cut a hole in the wall to the barn, and there's a mini right there that will overlook you while you're sleeping all night. So there's a door open to the barn, and you basically can sleep with a mini. It's a mini Shetland pony named Basil. We'll keep you
Basil. Basil in England.
Yeah, right, exactly. But now I will say a minimum two-night stay costs upwards of $470, so you better like the mini while you're staying there. But it is kind of cool. You get to sleep with a mini overlooking you, and apparently it's a really nice place too. So there you go. If you want to do that, I'll put a link to it in the show notes in case you're going to England anytime soon.
Well, there's that. Remember that zoo I went to? It's called Tiger Safari here in Oklahoma. It's like west of Oklahoma City, and I got to pet all these weird animals, and they had all these weird things. They actually have places you could stay above the like tiger lion's den. I mean, this is like it's a step above Tiger King. And everybody knows I'm talking. It is a step above. Like the animals look great; they're very well taken care of. But I mean, you meet the owner, you're like, well, it's just the people. Like you meet the owner, you're like, I know that guy. I don't know that guy, but I know that guy. Yeah, so you can actually rent rooms and stay above the lions and tigers and everything like that, too. Now, it is not as glamorous as a mini in England. It sounds a little prettier than middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, but you know, there you go.
One of our trips to Wellington, we stayed at, there's a lion safari campground, which is right beside Lion Safari, which you can go tour. And it was so cool because in the morning you heard the lions from the campground. You heard the lions roaring every morning because it was
these would be right outside your door. Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was fun to hear. That was fun. Lion Safari was actually a cool campground to stay at if you're ever going to Wellington. I also have one other quick review before we wrap it for the day. There was somebody on the auditor room that asked about barn cameras. Do you have any barn cameras yet in your barn?
No, I don't want to know what goes on when I'm not there.
We have enjoyed our barn camera, but I have a friend who really did some research. He's one of those guys that researches everything to death. And this is what he decided on his barn cameras is the, and then I did some research today on it, and these seem to be the two most highly recommended ones. One is a cell version, which you don't need wiring at all. You don't need a Wi-Fi connection. You do have to pay for, you get a SIM card, and whatever if you're Verizon, you'll pay extra for the SIM card. But you can install it in the pasture, the barn, a remote gate, like if you want to see who's coming in your gate. And it's solar, so you don't have to worry about hooking it up. It has battery and solar. But this is the cool part, is from your app on your phone, you can turn both of these cameras 360 degrees. So you can turn the cameras from the app on your phone while sitting on your couch.
So, okay, that's pretty cool.
If you have it like on a pasture cam and have it set up high or something like that, and it's 4K. I mean, most of our TVs aren't even 4K resolution. And at night, it's full color with the night mode, so you can actually see at night.
Even is it waterproof? Out. Like yes. If it rains?
Yes.
Ooh, that's cool.
These are waterproof. And the other one is Wi-Fi. So the Wi-Fi one, if your Wi-Fi reaches the barn, it's $149, and it's $180 for the one that's cellular. So it's RealLink is the version. I'll put links to it in our show notes. And don't forget, you can head over to Jamie and I's Amazon store. We'll put a link to that in our show notes as well.
Go over all this there to random buy stuff we talk about, we just put on this thing so you guys can find it.
And we've had a couple people saying they found what they wanted. So that's great. We're glad it's working. I'll put those there as well. I enjoy ours, by the way. I don't have the real link. Now I wish I did, because I bought ours before my friend told me about this stuff. So I might have to get a second one.
Yeah, my husband researches everything to death, too. It's amazon.com/shop/horses-in-the-morning.
So I have this good news story for you to end the day. There was an Alaskan Malamute. I cannot say that
Malamute.
Word.
Malamute. Malamute.
Cannot say that word. This is in Croatia. He's only 8 months old, too. And he went hiking with his owner, whose name I really can't say. I don't even think Jamie can say that name.
No, there's no vowels.
There's no vowels in this name. I don't know how you say it.
It's a Croatian name.
But they went hiking in the mountains, and it's very winter there. Very snowfall, very winter. And unfortunately, the guy fell down a steep slope, shattering his leg and leaving him immobile. And he was there in the cold, and night was approaching. He got word out that he was stranded and needed rescued, but they couldn't get to him that night. His friends knew where he was, but it was a very hard spot to get to. And what his dog do to keep him alive so he didn't die of hypothermia is the dog curled up on top of him the whole night, laid on top of him the whole night. For 13 straight hours, the dog never left him. Without food, without going to the bathroom, nothing. The dog laid on top of him, and it took 13 hours for the rescuers to get to him because of how remote this was, and they said without the dog lying on top of him, he would have died. But I'm happy to report that they're both doing well. They stretchered. Now, there's a picture out there. You can look this up. There's an image of him on the stretcher as they are about ready to try and carry him out, and the dog was laying by his head on the stretcher, wouldn't leave him. So there's a dog that's going to be with this guy for life.
I look at this story and I'm like, that's amazing. What an incredible bond between dog and human, and how amazing. Why the hell are you hiking alone in the mountains?
People do things that we could never imagine. Like, I just watched Karen Nate. I know a lot of you watch Karen Nate on YouTube. They have like 5 million followers. And he just ran the Moab 240, which is 240 miles, running 24 hours a day for 5 days through the desert.
No.
I don't have that gene. we don't have it.
Well, we were just talking about afterwards, like we were talking about with Denise, the Gaucho Derby and the, what's the other?
Mongol Derby, yeah.
Mongol Derby. And we were talking about those after, and she was saying our friend rode in it, and it's like right after the course they're going to offer. And all I think of is like, thank God I didn't do the Mongol Derby, because I did sign up for it 1 year, and I was like, thank God did. I didn't do it.
It was the same year Leslie did it, right? You signed up.
Yeah. We were going to do it together, and they didn't pick me. And I remember because like I had just had a baby. Like, what? You can't do that. That's so stupid.
I think that's why they didn't pick you, actually.
I'm so glad. I was just thinking about it. I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't have that experience in my life.
Oh,
like,
after you heard Leslie's stories especially.
Oh.
And don't forget,
there's just people that are tougher that enjoy suffering. Okay. I don't enjoy suffering.
Don't forget, big meteor shower tonight all across the country.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's the biggest one. This is the remnants of a comet that broke up, and they're expecting 10 to 15 meters an hour.
I feel like when we do shows like this, you remember the Seinfeld episodes, how they were making a show about nothing?
Nothing. Yep.
I feel like we're doing a show about nothing.
And on that,
there's no way anybody's listening anymore.
Become an auditor, and we're going to give you more nothing right after this.
It's a show about nothing. There's nobody listening. It can't be. They've all turned it off by now. Spay-neuter geld, if you're even listening.